Genesis chapter 6. And I do understand that if you've never studied this, and many here have never really studied this, it may sound kind of crazy. When we brought the sons of God and the daughters of men message, some of you had never heard that before, some of you had. But it sounds kind of crazy when you look at it. Well, it is crazy because the devil is crazy, and he's wicked, and his demons are wicked, and his fallen angels are wicked. But, without going too much over what we had already talked about, understand this one thing, that there were angels that fell with Satan, and then there were angels that left their first estate. Those two are not the same group. Those that left their first estate are chained into darkness now. The fallen angels are roaming. They are still working and doing whatever they're doing, working in Satan. They are not chained. Not all angels are chained, but those that left their first estate, that were compared to as Sodom and Gomorrah and going after strange flesh, those were the ones. You say, well, what happened? We talked about what happened. Now, we're not going to get into the giants. We're going to talk about that in three messages probably next week. We'll cover the giants in three or how many of our messages it takes. I'll give you the same outline. Give you the same one. That is who they are, what they did, and where they are now. And we'll kind of go through that and explain, you know, what happened with those giants, and we won't get into detail with that today. However, what we are going to cover today is a scriptural view of the days of Noah. What went on in the days of Noah? Let's pray. Father, we need you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd move in our midst. Dear God, these are truths and that are important. Christ said that so shall the coming of the Son of Man be when you see all these things. And Lord, it behooves us, it's important to us that we go back and look at this, what happened in the days of Noah, what took place. And Lord, that we be warned that we see from the Scriptures and understand these things. And not be asleep like in the night, but it's high time we awake out of sleep. And Lord, I pray that we would, and we would see it in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. And yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. Now, I'm not going to cover this week, but that's very important because something took place after that. All right? There were giants, but then something took place after that. After the fact of that. And also after that. It says that when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, that they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Now that word mighty is very important. You're going to see it again in Scripture, and it always details a warrior-like man. And renown always talks about renown for evilness and wickedness and vileness and just the violence that was on the earth in those days that we're going to talk about. That has something to do with that. These men were men of old, men of renown. They were talked about. They were men that had a lot of power. They were unusual in what they could do. And we'll talk about that in another week. So I'm not going to get into that very deeply here today. Men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. Is that not shocking to you? It repented the Lord that he made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Both man, now this is important. Remember this every word Bible. Remember, we like to hold up the King James Bible and say we believe every word. Both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. That's very interesting. It's not only man. Now, why would God destroy animals? Well, it's a very good question, isn't it? Well, they didn't do anything. How did they commit sin? They didn't commit sin. But the sons of God and the demonic activity that was going on committed sin with them and perverted them and changed them. That's what, because otherwise, why would God destroy animals? Are you trying to tell me that my God couldn't figure out a way to kill all the humans on earth without killing animals? Really, you believe that? When the very hairs of your head are all numbered, you don't think that God could find a way to zap, 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 zap everything? No, what happened? All of creation was corrupted, that's what happened. Well then, what was it corrupted by? Not only the evil imagination of man, but what else was behind that? What else was going on? And why mention these sons of God? And why mention that they were mighty and renowned in the earth? And why mention all these things? And why go to the creeping thing? And why the animals? Why does he have to get into all that? And why did animals have to die? We know that animals don't sin. They can't sin. They don't have the conscience that a man has. So they can't sin. So why would God destroy the animals and leave only a remnant to go into the ark? And the rest, he killed. We're going to look at that. We're going to see. And the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Now remember, every word Bible. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. He was a just man. Are you catching that? Just man and perfect in his generations. Why is that so important that he was perfect in his generations? What does that mean? We're going to look at that today. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. Wait a minute. So the earth was also corrupt before God. Now the earth, indifference to the sea, you understand that, right? He's saying all that had the breath of life in it was corrupt. He's not saying that the fish of the sea or under the sea or those things were corrupt. What is he saying? He's saying that all upon dry land, all that have in it the nostrils of the breath of in their nostrils the breath of life is corrupt. Had corrupted itself before God. It's odd. How does an animal corrupt itself before God? Strange. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. All flesh. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. Now look at this. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Did you catch that? Them. And I will destroy them with the earth. So then he goes on to tell them to make an ark and of every living flesh. Well, actually, we'll continue to read that. And this, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. It of the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh to every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. It's the only way to keep the earth alive, keep mankind alive or animals alive, male and female. It's naturally the way that works. Of fowls after their kind and of cattle after their kind. Are you noticing something? Did you see that? After their kind? Of every creeping thing of the earth, after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God had commanded, so did he. So he goes on and he explains the clean beast and the unclean beast, how many you take, and sevens, and then he goes on to explain that, and we'll not cover that right now. But we're going to get into what was going on in the days of Noah, what took place, and why start over, or why leave a remnant and then push everything into the ark and destroy everything else? Why the importance of that? Why did the animal? How did all flesh corrupt itself before God? Well, what took place there? One must wonder what these days of Noah were like. It appears that the wickedness of this world had reached the height of heaven, and God had decided enough was enough. But you must understand that this world is wicked now and is full of all manner of evil today. So why then did God destroy the earth? What was going on in those days that caused God to destroy the earth and all the inhabitants of it? Was it any worse than it is now? Is there something more in the pages of Scripture that God told us that we have to study to find out and listen and watch and pay attention to the entire story? What was going on there? In the first three messages, we looked at Genesis chapter 6 on the sons of God and the daughters of men. We covered those things. Now we're going to kind of zoom in a little bit in scope of what went on during those days and what took place and kind of the totality of what went on and why it all led to the end there. And I'll admit to you that if you've not studied any of this out, it will not make a lot of sense to you. But if you listen to this sermon, keep listening all the way to the end, and it'll start to make sense to you a little bit clearly. It'll be a little clearer at the end. Well, number one, we do understand that the generations were defiled. They were being defiled. All of the generations were being defiled. If you listen to the first set of sermons there, you understand that the sons of God came in on the daughters of men. And some people say, well, that must be the godly line of Seth. No, it isn't. First of all, Seth only had one son, and he couldn't have produced any line. He only had one son at the time that all this took place. Do a timeline and figure it out. It's impossible that it could have been that. And also, we understand that no lost daughter of Cain and saved, so to speak, of Seth would come together and create giants on the earth. That's absolutely impossible. It's preposterous because we see lost and saved get married, and they might create some monsters with some children, but they're not men of old, they're not men of renown, and they're certainly not 15 to 25 feet tall, and they don't rule the earth, and they don't do the other things that what took place here, what these sons of God and these giants did on the earth, their offspring, the giants did on this earth. The sons of God, whoever you believe they were, had to come into the daughters of men, and they did have babies that were giant men of old, men of renown. That word renown means evil and mighty. It's like the same thing as Nimrod. If you look at Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, Nimrod is an interesting character, and I don't have time to go down that trail with Nimrod. But let me just say this. If you study who Nimrod was and what he did in his kingdom and do a little bit of a background study, you will find out that he was a Luciferian. He was a Satanist, and he had some power from somewhere else. And he was getting his knowledge and his power and everything else from the devil and from some other things. But we don't have time to get into that right now. We'll talk about that some other day. But these men that were created were warrior-like men that were from these unions, that were giants, and they wreaked havoc in the world. Well, we're not covering the giants in these sermons today. We'll touch on the fact that they were alive and well, and they were killing and murdering, in which we'll further illustrate later on. Noah was all that was left for a pure generation of Adamites. Those that had come strictly from Adam and from the line of Adam and weren't infiltrated. They weren't hybrids. Now pay attention to that word, because at the end of this message, that word is going to be very important for you to understand. Something had went on here that displeased the Lord, and the evilness of the times had gotten all the way up to heaven, and God was finished with it. And he said, enough is enough. Why? Because in thee only have I found righteous. I've only found your generation perfect in your generations. What does that mean? We're going to look at that here, what that means. He was all that was left of a pure generation of Adamites that were not tainted with this Nephilim seed. We see that in the following text, in Genesis 6:9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. That word perfect in his generations is used 46 different times in reference to flesh without blemish, meaning that Noah had a perfect bloodline. Wasn't that he was just some good-looking guy. It wasn't that he was perfect in his generations. Why? Because he was not defiled by the seed of the Nephilim. Now you say, I didn't know that the fallen angels could have a seed. Well, go back to the Garden of Eden then. And look in Genesis chapter 3. And what did he say? I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. Unless you don't believe that was the devil in the Garden of Eden. Because the Bible calls him that wicked old serpent. Amen. Calls him the devil, that wicked old serpent. Amen. Among other things. Now these are the generations. No, that word perfect, it means that it's important to understand that one of the major reasons God flooded the earth and killed all whose nostrils were in the breath of life was to preserve the remaining seed for the Messiah to come through. There was a satanic plot. You say, well, no, it must have been the sons of Seth mixed with the daughters of Cain and you couldn't have the Messiah. Well, you know, that's a very interesting idea that you have there. The only problem is that Rahab was a harlot and she was a wicked sinner and a pagan before. You have all these others that were in the line of the Messiah. Judah was a fornicator. Come on. One of the ladies that his son was married to was supposed to get the next son, and then he skipped over. So she dressed as a harlot and went in unto him, and he went in unto her as a harlot. Why? So don't tell me there's this pure line all the way through that's what it's discussing. No, it isn't discussing that. It's talking about the fact that there was angels that left their first estate. They came down unto the daughters of men, and they had children, men of old, men of renown. That's right. He's speaking of genetically pure in his generations. It is important that to understand that. I've heard people say, well, Cain's seed and Seth's seed was the reason. Doesn't make any sense. Many others were thieves and murderers and robbers of God. Do you think Jacob was a pure guy? How about Solomon? Where did he come from? No, Satan had a plan, and those fallen angels filled the earth with their wicked unions and caused the seed to be so mingled that Noah was it. He was the last one there. He was the last man standing. That was it. That was all. Don't believe it? Well, he preached for years for them to repent. No, nobody repented. How'd you like to be that man on that mission? Everybody around you is preaching. Everybody around you is living wickedly. Hey, can I give you some background? This isn't Bible, but let me give you something from Josephus. Josephus is not a Baptist preacher standing up before you today. Josephus was a historian in the time of Christ, okay? So he's not a saved man, I don't believe, but he's a man that took a history, and he tried to make it as accurate as possible for his history's sake. Now listen to this. But for what degree of zeal they had formerly shown for virtue, they now showed by their actions a double degree of wickedness, whereby they made God to be their enemy. He's talking about the people at the time. For many angels of God accompanied with women and begat sons that proved unjust and despisers of all that was good, on account of the confidence they had in their own strength. For the tradition is that these men did what resembled the acts of those whom the Grecians call giants. But Noah was very uneasy at what they did, and being displeased at their conduct, persuaded them to change their dispositions and their acts for the better. But seeing they did not yield to him, but were slaves of their wicked pleasures, he was afraid they would kill him, together with his wife and children, and those that they had married, so he departed out of that land. He went and built the ark, is what he's saying. He just kind of separated himself and just built an ark and said, okay, this is what God wants me to do. This is what I'm going to do. That's a Jewish historian from the time of Christ, Josephus. And by the way, very respected by most people. If you go to most Baptist bookstores and places like that, they'll have the works of Josephus sitting right in there. So it's not like this guy. What am I saying? I'm saying, folks, that this sons of God teaching and the daughters of men was only in the last 200 years changed to the godly line of Seth. You study the rabbis and history of all cultures, and they tell the same stories that these fallen gods came down and they procreated with women and they had children and they were mighty children of old, men of renown. And they were strong and they were godlike. I mean, we're not going to talk about giants, but you can't deny the fact of giants, and there aren't any today that are 16 feet tall running around. So what happened? We'll talk about that next week. Stay tuned, yeah. So we see in Noah's generations he was pure and undefiled. Remember Genesis 3, the promise, enmity between thy seed and her seed. Now, most Baptists don't understand that, but Satan understood that. See, he understood that, oh, okay, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to do whatever I can to keep the Messiah from coming. You see, why would he do that when he knows his end is going to be someday? Do you think he cares? He knows it's thousands of years away, and he already knows he's going to hell. So if I'm going to hell, he's like every partier out there. If I'm going to hell, I'm taking everybody with me I can. I'm going to have a big old party in hell. You ever seen rebellious people say those things? Right. That's what they say. Well, Satan said the same thing. I know I'm going to be judged, but hey, that's a long time away, and I might as well do as much wickedness as I can. And if I can cause some trouble and prevent the seed, and if I can pervert God's creation, if I can do that, then I'll do it. Because I hate him. So what did he do? Says here in Genesis 6:11. Oh, the Bible also states that Noah walked with God, and it was because his father, Adam, to Lamech, warned them and warned him of the satanic plan to destroy the seed. See, if you understood how truth came down to Jews and how they it was family to family. Oh, there's an idea. That you would actually take that responsibility to teach your own family truth, not depend on somebody else to do it. That's what they did. They taught that story. Noah sat on Enoch's knee. Or Methuselah's, one of the two. Maybe both. And learned. And he told him, hey, stay away from those people. Don't get around them. Don't go there. Don't go that way. Don't look at those women over there. You don't need anything to do with those. Stay away from them. He warned them. Why? Because God's going to have enough of this someday. And God's going to destroy this earth. The Bible states about Enoch being a prophet and Enoch preaching. And Enoch for 300 years preached to these people. You better knock it off, you guys. You better stop this. Can't do this. Better repent. Don't go playing around with that. A lot of history records the witchcraft that was taught. Like I said before, you tell me the origin of witchcraft. Where'd it come from? Did some lady just figure out how to be a witch one day? Or was it taught to them? It was taught to them. Amen. It was taught to them. Somebody taught it. And God looked upon, and the earth was corrupt before God. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Notice, all that had the breath of life was corrupt. He doesn't mention the seas, but the earth. You say, then what went on that all flesh, even the animals, had to die, besides that pure remnant? Genesis 1:25, and God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Well, it seems like to me that God made everything after its own kind. What does God hate? Mixing. They weren't supposed to be mixed. You weren't supposed to crossbreed things. You weren't supposed to mix things. You weren't supposed to intermingle those things together. In fact, the Jews were given many laws against that. Don't do that. Don't mix. Don't sow with diverse seeds. Don't do any of that. Why? Because God hates that hybridization. Why? Well, because let's go back to the Garden of Eden. And let's go back to a woman that was in the Garden of Eden, and the serpent came unto her, and he said, you'll be like a god. Well, she was a human. Yeah, but you'll be a human god. You'll be both. You'll be a mixture of both. You'll be like a god. Doesn't that give you some insight into his plot and plan that he had? God, little G-O-D. Well, that's very interesting. Now, how would Eve know what a god was, little G-O-D? How would she know what that is? She must have seen some angels, and many called them gods. And many thought of them like gods. Why? Because they were in the image of God. The way that they were created, they were holy. And they were perfect. Think about it. God made things perfect after his kind. But hybrids are not of God. This mixing and cloning that is done is not after his kind. This genetic modified foods are not after the Lord. In fact, the Israelites were not allowed to mix the seed either in their fields. They were not allowed to sow it with diverse seeds. There is much speculation that hybrids from demonic activity existed when these sons of God came and defiled even the beasts of the field and turned them into hybrids with no souls, half angels, half animals. So that's just crazy. Well, I'm going to show you a few in the Bible. Then you can look at me crazy. It's okay. Amen. Turn to Isaiah chapter 13. It's too late. You already know I'm crazy. Far past that. Isaiah chapter 13 and verse number 21. And it does sound very odd when you think about these things, but you have to understand all the beasts of the field, everything was destroyed. Isaiah 13:21, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. What in the world's a satyr? How do they dance? Right? Isaiah 34:14, the wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow. Now that's weird. The screech owl also shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. What does a satyr mean? It means a goat devil. Just giving you the interpretation of that's what it means. It means a goat devil. That's what it means. Now you say, this must be a fanciful interpretation. No. Even history bears witness to these things. Even history does. You ever seen the Sphinx? You ever seen the Sphinx? Well, where'd that come from? Now, whose idea? A Sphinx? Come on. What? Just some guy messing around, drawing or something. He decided he was going to do it. Really? No, that was a god that he made. You see, he made an image of his god. Do you understand that? That lion god, he made an image of that. Do you really think that all of these false gods that are out there, that they make these strange images to, they just invented in their mind and they have nothing to... No, they were fallen angels that came down and were worshipped by man as gods because they had extreme power and might. They were mighty men of old, men of renown. And their angels were like that. Their fallen angels were like that. They were mighty, and their offspring was mighty as well. And I'll believe your version of it when you can prove to me how anybody else could have built those pyramids. You go ahead. Anybody done any construction? Anybody tried to move a 13-ton rock? Just curious. How about a 20 or 30-ton rock? Back then. Oh, they had a wheel. Oh, yeah, they had a good one, didn't they? Fred Flintstone had a wheel, too, but he wasn't able to do that, all right? Because you start telling me that they moved these kind of rocks, and this was just, and these kind of, the way the pyramids are made, and you try to tell me that a man did that, that men did that, men! Guys like us just walking around moving rocks. Okay, yeah, sure. Or even 15-foot-tall men. They had some help. Where'd the design come from? Heaven. Heaven. Sounds crazy. I know. Well, is there any other type of weird things like that in the Bible? Now, we didn't even get into the book of Revelation. But you're going to start making fun of me. I'm going to start pulling out references in Revelation. Now, things had four faces and flying wings and the head of a man. And go ahead. We'll go through there. Now, you believe the Bible or not? Did God say those things were there? Did he say they were coming back again? Did he say they were going to fill the earth? Did he say that they had a face here and they had wings here and they had arms here? And they had... Did he say, oh, yeah, he did, didn't he? Well, you know, it's not so weird when you see it in the Bible. You say, well, I mean, God said it. See, you and I just don't understand the level, the depth of wickedness that this world went under. You think we're as bad as the days of Noah? No, we're not. We haven't even touched the surface of it yet. We're just starting to get to what's going to happen here. Just starting to get to it. Hybrids. That's what they did. That's why God destroyed it. In the days of Noah, that's why God destroyed all the creatures, because of hybrids. You say, I want you to hold that thought that I'm a nut and I don't know what I'm talking about. I want you to hold that thought there just for a second until we get to the end. And then each one of you that think I'm a nut, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. I'm just teasing you. If I don't have fun with you, you're too quiet, right, Lee? I enjoyed Gateway. There's some good people. Amen. And outside of here, that is one great place to preach, but this is home. Nothing like home. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse number 20. And Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. It's interesting how they say a that's 2 Samuel 23:20. Lion-like men of Moab. And then he slew a lion. He's just a hairy guy, or what? Is this a hairy man he slew? Now, there are portions of Scripture that talk about a man that had a beard like a lion, but this Bible, this King James Bible, uses the expression lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of the pit. And then in 1 Chronicles 11:22, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. Also, he went down and slew a lion in the pit in the snow, in a snowy day. Wow. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Amen. All right. Now, this may sound off the wall and crazy, and I admit it does, but demonic wickedness from the days of Noah was unbelievable. Now, this was not the days of Noah. We understand this. But we also understand that while David is explaining these exploits of what took place, or while Scripture is explaining all the exploits that took place, I want you to file this away for next week and remember this. They were fighting giants through all of Canaan. All of Canaan was filled with giants, and I'm going to show you that. That they were all the Zuzims, the Arzazims, or whatever they are. They start with a Z, something like that. Anyway, and the Girgashites, it goes through all these giants families that were there. Okay, they were the Rephaims, and all of their family, or the Rapha, whichever way you want to say it. But they were all there fighting them. So there was something going on over there that was taking place with all these 14, 15. It said Og, king of Bashan, in Joshua's time, Og had a bed that was 18 feet long and was like 8 feet wide. That's a big man. And it was made of iron. Because it had to be. You're Noah, okay? You're just walking around. You're Noah, you're Shem, you're Ham, you're Japheth, right? You just walk along one day, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of your eye, there's a guy that's 15 feet tall, and he's 8 feet wide. I mean, if you don't wet yourself right there, honestly, right? Now, I like to be as manly as man could get, all right? But I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't mind screaming like a girl if a guy came after me. I'd be screaming like a woman running as fast. Would you not? I mean, I'd be screaming like a woman as fast as I can, because it says that a lot of these giants were sodomites, all right? I know. I'm just telling you history, what it says, and that would be scary enough. And I'd be running. I'd be running anyway, even if it wasn't. But there's also a lot of history that records that there were giant women as well. And I'd be running from them too. And they had these deep, intimidating voices. If you go onto YouTube, you can Google a video. I'm not talking about giants. I'm kind of getting off on a little rabbit trail here. It's hard to when it all comes together like this. But there, if you go on YouTube, there's a guy that was, I want to say he was 8 feet tall. That Robert guy, he was 8 feet tall. Almost 9 feet, 8'11". He was 8'11", and he died about 40 years ago or something like that. I think it was. Isn't that Robert Lardlow or something like that? Anyway, you know what I'm talking about, right? I think you've seen him. Almost 9 feet tall. His voice was so deep. The way it sounded, it was intimidating just to hear his voice. He was a nice guy, but I mean, it was just his voice. Now, he had gigantism. It's a little different than those men. Those men were physical specimens. There's nothing wrong with them. They were 8 feet wide. I mean, they weren't skinny rails. These were big men. They were men. I mean, they were big dudes. Scary. But anyway, so what my point is, these lion-like men were hybrids, I believe. I believe that the Bible says that they were hybrid men. They were mixed. Something was going on with the sons of God, the daughters of men, the giants. That sounds crazy, but, you know, if he would have said they were two men that looked like they had beards of lions, then he would have meant that they had beards of lions and they looked like... But he said two lion-like men, and they were mighty men. They were mighty men. Look through those chapters and study that in David's mighty men. How this one man had the... Never mind, that's the giants. I got to get off of that, but it's something, all right? He had a staff like a weaver's beam, right? So that means the guy walked around with a tree fighting. Do you understand that? This is Bible. This is not Grimm's fairy tales, okay? This isn't Jack and the Beanstalk, by the way, which is Jack the Beanstalk. That giant liked to eat people. I just want you to remember that. That's going to be important for next week, too. But just so you remember that I know we're going all kinds of spooky here today. But just listen to me. He liked that in that story, remember? He liked to eat people. Ate all the food, right? Nobody could have any food. They were all starving because the giant ate all the food. Now, where'd they get that story from? But when he fought those men, he had a staff like a weaver's beam, big old tree. I was like, that guy would be running at you with a big old tree in his hand. I was like, I'd feel a little bit better with my AK-47, a little bit. I'd still be hiding though. Big hollow points. I mean, you got to get a helicopter dropper for those guys. I mean, you don't want to mess around with even a 7.62x30. You need a helicopter dropper, man. You need that big old 50. You know? Yeah, that's right. That's what you need for those guys. But anyway, I'm stocking up, man. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, just so understand that these things were this demonic wickedness was taking place. The Bible says in the future, in the tribulation, there will be hybrid beasts that come out, strange creatures with more than one head, strange beasts that come from the bottomless pit, even of Tartarus, strange things that are going to be happening. This is hard for many to swallow in this world, but nevertheless, the Bible shows it to be true. Much of the Egyptian writings and Greek writings tell of these godlike creatures. The demonic activity was at an all-time high in those days, and the main reason of much of this was done to destroy the generations. It was to destroy God's creation. History records that many of these fallen angels did those things with hybridization of animals and made these creatures that were crazy. That's why he was told to get things after his own kind, after their kind. Gather up, that God was going to gather these animals from after their own kind. After their own kind. Over and over again, after their, why? Because that's the way that he created them. After their own kind. They weren't to mix that. They weren't to mingle that. Other historical books give testimony of those things in ancient Egyptians, false gods as well. You can see them all through their hieroglyphics. You see it all through everything. You see, that's just, oh, they were just writing about that. No, Egypt was a demonic place, and they had a lot of, just like I told you before, Moses in front of Pharaoh throws down the staff, turns it to the snake. Pharaoh's priests come up, throw down the staff, turns it into a snake. Oh, that wasn't demonic activity. No, of course not. You can do that. Go get a staff and throw it down, turn it into a snake. What was going on? Demonic activity. They knew. They understood. how to do these things. That's why the Lord gave these instructions to the Israelites. He said this, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers serve on the other side of the flood." G-O-D-S's, little G-O-D-S's, "and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Remember, the land of Canaan was filled with giants. We're going to look at that. And you're going to understand those giants and those gods that they served, that they had, and the fact that those men were very hard to kill, they were very hard to destroy, and they were like grasshoppers in their sight. After the flood, right, and also after that. Remember, the land of Canaan was filled with that. Anyway, remember that Christ said that as was the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now let's move it forward here. Hybridization is, I mean, come on, Pastor. You really don't have to just make up this fanciful stuff just to get us interested. I know. I won't do that, I promise. Cloning and genetic modification is alive and well on planet Earth today. It is being used today on food, and it's speculated it's being used on humans. More than speculation. They are trying to clone and make hybrids of animals and humans today. So, no. 150, here's an article. 150 human-animal hybrids grown in UK labs. Embryos have been produced secretively for the past 3 years. So the days of Noah were filled with this genetic hybrid garbage that had corrupted the earth. How about this one? A house bill would ban animals and human hybrids in Mississippi. Well, why would you have to write a bill to ban human hybrids and animal hybrids if there wasn't any? Strange. Why would you need a law for that? It's odd. Mississippi drafts a bill to ban animal and human hybrids. Now, why would they need to do that? Because there's nothing new under the sun, that's why. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The days of Noah were perverted and terribly wicked times. How about we bring it a little closer to home? Let's bring it right to Minnesota. Minnesota pigs are being born with human blood in their veins. In Nevada, there are sheep whose livers and hearts are largely human. In California, mice peer from their cages with human brain cells firing inside their skulls. But with no federal guidelines in place, an awkward question hovers above the work. How human must a chimera be before more stringent research rules should kick in? They want to write human right laws for these chimeras, these hybrids. We've got to be humane to these humansies, human and chimpanzees. Jesse Ventura did a show on that, humans and chimpanzees. Now, preacher, come on, you just get too excited about these things. It's no big deal. That could never happen back then. But it's happening right now, and God destroyed the earth for that very reason. One of the reasons. We'll get to the second one in the next hour. Ooh, I got to get moving. Even his creation was corrupted. Listen to this testimony from a scientist. In disturbing experiments there, Dr. Nelson saw living matter being combined with inanimate objects so that these objects were half alive with DNA, giving them a form of pseudo-life. He claimed to experience nightmares for weeks after seeing this highly troubling research. Yet no guidelines have been developed to monitor such activities, especially when they are conducted in secret by the government. Oh, come now. They wouldn't do something like that, would they? Who do you think funds it? Hey, I got another one for you. How about Hitler was doing it, and we hired all of Hitler's guys after the war and brought them over here, and they were our scientists, and they ran NASA. And NASA just plays with airplanes. Yeah, that's all they do. They're working on just flying, that's all. Okay. Why did they hire all of them then? Why did they hire all the hybrid doctors and the chemists and all their scientists that were mixing things and looking for the perfect gene? What were they messing with? Hybrids. How about this one? Man-beast hybrids on the way. Human DNA in a cow egg. Strange. Well, what do you think Noah seen when he was out and Noah was walking and walking out and he'd see a satyr running around? A billy goat with a human head running around. Very strong, a minotaur running around. You thought that was all made up? Well, no, they're trying to do it now. And you can go ahead and deny it and say it ain't happening, but they just reduced in Minnesota a pig with human blood in it. This isn't from some far-out science magazine. It's just everyday newspaper. There it is. Right under your nose, but you're watching American Idol and the football game and being lulled to sleep. And preachers aren't preaching it. They're not telling anybody. They don't warn people anymore. They don't preach on these things. They don't study themselves because they're too busy trying to build numbers instead of feed people and warn them of what's coming. Just like in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It's happening right as we speak, folks. They're doing it now. Why? Because we're returning to those days of Noah, where God is going to come back and he's going to burn the earth with fervent heat eventually. That's right. He's going to cleanse it just like he did in the beginning, just like he had to do with the flood. He won't do it by water, but he sure will do it by fire. Once by water, second by fire. And that's what's coming, folks, and that's what's going on right now. And that's what happened in the days of Noah, and that's why all of creation, all the beasts of the field, that's why they had to be. You say, well, I can't imagine them being smart enough to do that. Yeah, I know, because you're part of an evolution culture we are, where evolution tells us, just like geocentricity and everything else, oh, they weren't as smart as we are, we're smarter. Oh, really? No, I think they were really smart. We can't even make those pyramids yet. Anybody want to try and make those pyramids?
Right.
Try to get something heavy enough to move that stone and do it. Go ahead, make them. Make it so you can get you can't get a piece of paper through it.
Yeah.
Why? Why does no rain come inside of it? Why? Well, because a long time ago, the sons of God left heaven, came down, and said, you're not ever going to be able to go back into heaven again. And God told them, you can't even as much as look up into heavens anymore. So they said, okay, well, we'll make a heaven here on earth. And we'll design these pyramids and we'll build these pyramids. That's right. Just like the holy temple in heaven. Yeah. And they built it right here. And what'd they put in it? Oh, not things to holiness unto the Lord. But sphinxes and different animals and minotaurs. And giants and other hieroglyphics of the devil. And they show in their writings of giants when they show the Pharaoh sitting down. And when the Pharaoh stands up, he's about 4 feet taller than everybody else or 5 feet taller than everybody else. Why? They were telling you what went on. You think they drew these beasts with all these weird heads and all these arms and all these? Do you think they did that? Do you think that was just made up in their head like it was imaginary? No. It was hybridization. Well, how do they know how to do that? Fallen angels taught them. That's how. They taught them how to do that. And that's why he said, I will destroy the earth with them. That's right. They saw how the foundations of the world, they saw the foundation. And all the sons of God shouted for joy. They were there when he laid the foundations of the earth. They know how he did it. So they could do it again. And Satan set up his kingdom. And I actually had some fool tell me yesterday that Satan is bound. And he actually believed that. No, he really believed that. He's a preterist. Yeah. Yeah, he's bound. He's just kind of down there in chains. He can't do anything right now. Okay. Keep telling yourself that. That's exactly what he wants you to believe too. So you ever wonder why all this stuff that you never hear about, any of this stuff, never hear about it? Why don't we ever hear about giants? Why don't we ever hear about the skulls and things that are found? Why don't we ever hear about any of those things? Why is it all hidden and suppressed? Well, because if there was giants before, folks, and I'll say this again next week to you, but if there were giants before, then we're not evolving, we're devolving. And why aren't we as smart as they were? And how come they could figure out all this technology and how to do this? How? And what happened? Why did God say, why did God destroy the earth and every creature and every creeping thing? I'll get to that the next hour, and we'll talk a little about Romans chapter 1 that talks about the creation, from the creation, talks about four-footed beasts, and they worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is God blessed forever. Amen. Why? What happened? Well, the creature, not the creator. See, they were producing hybrids. That's what they were doing, and they had perverted the earth and filled the earth with that. And Noah was walking around, his sons were walking around, that's all they could see. Everywhere were giants in the land. Perversion going on everywhere. Demonic activity everywhere. Everywhere. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. What good reason can you give to hybrid, for the hybridization of humans and animals? Why are they doing it? They want to ruin God's creation. Why did they do it before? Because they wanted to ruin God's creation. They wanted to, for humans, they wanted to take the seed and pervert it so the Messiah couldn't come. That was their goal. But everything else, their reasoning behind it was just to pervert God's creation. Because everything that Satan does, he doesn't create anything. He only perverts it. He never creates, he perverts. That's right. They did start with seeds. It's no big deal. And now we don't eat, now America is full of GMO foods, genetically modified. And what's next? And what's coming? What's coming when you have pig blood in a heart? Or human blood in a pig heart. What are they going to say? Well, they're going to say these animals have rights. Well, what's next? Well, you can marry an animal. That's a humanzy. That's a mixture. You can marry it. That is called bestiality. That's right, son. It is. And that's what they're going to say. Why? Well, they have rights. This is what's coming, and this is why God destroyed the earth the first time. And he'll do it again the second time. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for this message, Lord. Thank you for the truths from the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.